Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, what a joy it is to meet in your name. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the whole counsel of God. And as we're in the Psalms again this morning, and in these Psalms, or songs, I should say, of ascents, it is so glorious. So thank you, Lord, for your living word, and help us to glean from it this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, continuing on, we only have three more to go in the Song of Ascents, and today we have the longest one, Psalm 132. And let me read it, and then we'll hit a few of the high points of it. It's entitled The Eternal Dwelling of God in Zion. Verse 1, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. How he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob. Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of the woods. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away from the face of the anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth to David, he will not return from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forevermore. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. Awesome, huh? Isn't that awesome? So we see the love of David to build a house for God and to have it in Jerusalem. In verses 13 and 14, we read, For the Lord has chosen Zion, which of course we know is Jerusalem. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. And I thought it was very fitting to just sing this great song that we all know, The Holy City. And it includes not only this promise of what we have in Jerusalem, but even more. It's a little bit on the professional side, but there's three of the world's greatest tenors singing it. And I thought, don't want to miss that, really. So let's sing along. The words are on the front page there, the top of your notes. The Holy City.
Last night I lay asleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, me followed the voice of angels from heaven answering. my dream was changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang.
The sun grew dark with mystery, the moon was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill.
As the shadow
we can hardly wait, right? We want to get to heaven, but just think what's ahead. 1,000-year millennial reign with Jesus ruling and reigning with a rod of iron from Jerusalem there in the temple. Oh, how exciting. How exciting. Well, as we look at the psalm in a little more detail, it starts with, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. Another translation of afflictions might be anxious cares. Lord, remember David and his anxious cares. So he has been anxious, and let's see what it's about here. Well, at least one of the things it's about, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house. That would be his palace there in Jerusalem. Now he's moved from Hebron. The nation has been united. And he's have moved to Jerusalem now, and he wants to see God worshiped there in Jerusalem. And he says, surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or to the comfort of my bed. I will not give rest or sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until, a big word here, until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Amazing, isn't this? He has got a burning desire in his heart to do something that the Lord hasn't even asked him to do. But as he would be worshiping there in Jerusalem with the palace and with all of the creature comforts there of the city, and as he would look out and see that old tabernacle, probably the tent flapping in the breeze, and thinking, that isn't the right place for the Lord. So he wanted to build him a house. Now, prior to this, or during this time possibly as well, he was thinking of the Ark of the Covenant. And remember, it had been left out in the countryside in the house of Obed-Edom. The Israelites took it into battle against the Philistines. That was back in the days of Samuel the prophet. And Israel was losing because they were rebelling against the Lord, and they really weren't being true to him. And they thought, well, it might help in our battle against the Philistines if we would bring the Ark of the Covenant there, kind of as from Shiloh, where it was had been for about 300 plus years. This will help us with the battle. But you know, it turned around on them because the Ark was captured by the Philistines. Of course, when they took it back home, they had nothing but trouble. Remember, they had the rats and they had the cancer kind of growths and so forth. And so they went from city to city, and the same thing happened in every city. So what did they do? They wanted to send it back to the Israelites. So they put it on a cart and sent the cart back to them. Well, you know how it goes. When man has plans, often David wanted to bring this ark into the city of Jerusalem from the area out there in Kiriath Yearim. And so what did he do? He followed the Philistines' plan of a cart, where the scripture said it was to be carried by the priests. And you know, they'd carried that Ark of the Covenant for 40 years in the wilderness, and we never have one reported problem with stumbling with it. But here, as they have the thousands and the bands and the big parade going on to bring this cart back, it's on this cart and it hits a bump and it started to tip over or whatever. And you remember this guy, I think his name was Ahio, reached out to steady it, and God struck him dead. Wow. That was the end of David's celebration, wasn't it? The end of the procession, I should say, of the people into the city of Jerusalem. The party was over, and David was angry. Now, he will go back to the Torah, back to the Word of God, and he'll find what the prescribed method by God for moving that holy ark was, and that was it would be carried on by poles by the priests. So when they did it that way, following the Lord's plan, it was a beautiful, beautiful thing as they brought the ark back. So we have a little bit of that here in verse 6. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. That's where the ark was. We found it in the fields of the woods. Kiriath Yearim is that name of that place. Fields of the woods. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. And now pleading to the Lord, arise, O Lord, to your resting place, inviting the Lord to come to your resting place in Jerusalem, you and the ark of your strength. This would be David's temple, actually built by Solomon, but really designed and led by David. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. So carry the mercy seat back, carry it back. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. And of course, that stands for the Son of David, the anointed Mashiach, or the Messiah of Israel, the Son of David. It'll come through one of his seed descendants. Verse 11, the Lord has sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. So here is an unconditional covenant. God has promised to do this, that he will bring the Messiah through one of the descendants of David. He will not turn from it. God is making this promise. It's not conditioned on anything, and it cannot be broken. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body, your offspring. But now verse 12 begins with the word if. If your sons, and that's, of course, conditional on their keeping the covenant. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forevermore. And obviously, if they don't, then they won't, and they didn't. And about the time of Zedekiah, it all went south, and they got cut off. Jeconiah, they got cut off. That line that came through Solomon was cut off because of their disobedience. Now we move on into kind of the exciting part, of the blessings here of Jesus coming back. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. So that's what we were referring to when we sang that song, Jerusalem, as we began. This is my resting place. Here I will dwell. Now, there's seven I wills here. These are all promises by God, so they will happen. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will satisfy her poor with bread. You know, that's an amazing thing. When we follow the Lord, there's always prosperity. When we turn away from the Lord, there's always all kinds of things, wars and hunger and problems and pestilences and everything else. But here, following the Lord, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation. Oh, what a day that will be. And her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There in Jerusalem, I will make the horn or the authority or the power of David grow. And you know, it grew to about 62,000 square miles, Israel, the largest it ever was at that point of time. In fact, David was looking for enemies because God was giving them all into his hands, and there weren't any more. And it was time of peace. Of course, we know the sin with Bathsheba and the difficulties there. But we know that David now will spend basically the rest of his life. He has had this desire to build the house of the Lord, and he told Nathan about it. And Nathan said, good idea, David, go for it. Then later on that night, God came to Nathan and said, Nathan, you're a good prophet, but you blew it. Quickly telling David, go for it. He cannot build me a house because his hands are bloody. He's a man of war. So you go to David and tell him that he cannot build me a house, but that I will build him a house. And we've just referred to that with it coming from his lineage, and it will last forever. Jesus Christ will last forever, the eternal God. So he says, I will make the horn of David grow, the authority of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. In other words, that he will be the light of the world, you know, that Jesus Christ, the anointed, the Mashiach. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame. So all of those enemies that are out there today that we would like to, you know, do a man right, he will clothe them with shame. But upon himself, his crown shall flourish. He and his church, we will be with him when he returns back to Jerusalem in power and great glory. What a day that will be, establishing the 1,000-year millennial reign. And then after that, the great white throne judgment, and we'll have the new holy city of Jerusalem coming down, and that's where we'll spend eternity, I believe, or maybe not all in the holy city, but wherever our Lord has us to be. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we have time to pray, and we're here to pray. So may we be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and may we be, therefore, in one accord praying together. Let us pray. And amen to that. Well, as we close this morning, I thought we would sing this song. We've been talking about preparing the tabernacle, the sanctuary. It will be the temple where God will be worshiped. And I thought we would personalize this with this song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. So let's sing that song with understanding. It The words are on page 4. Amen to that. Oh, Lord, prepare us, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. We thank you for this great psalm of seeing the heart of David, which you touched to build him a house, a temple, to be in the center of Israel and all the worship to be headquartered there and coming out of there to minister to the people and to praise and honor you. Lord, we want to praise and we want to honor you. We want to see your word going out to the whole world. And we lift up the lost today, Lord, especially those who so desperately need you that are not born again yet. We pray for kings and those in authority. We pray for all men, Lord, women and children. Bless each one who came this morning. Continue to bless them and nourish them with your Spirit. Fill us to overflowing that we would be very fruitful in what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.